Hello everyone, I'm your moderator Amanda Balby with Consultant 360. Influenza season is upon us, and it is the worst season since 2009, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So far this flu season, dozens of children have died from influenza-related causes. Here with us today to shed some light on this year's flu season is Dr. Angela Campbell, who is a pediatric infectious disease specialist in Atlanta, Georgia, and a medical officer in the CDC's influenza division. Thank you for speaking with us today, Dr. Campbell.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity.
As I mentioned before, dozens of children have died from the flu this season already. Are there any warning signs or symptoms that healthcare providers can be cautious of?
There are different potential presentations of severe disease. People may experience progressively worsening illness over several days, for example, or they may begin to improve and then feel worse again. This may indicate that they are developing complications. In addition, influenza can exacerbate underlying medical conditions such as pulmonary or cardiac disease. So an asthma exacerbation, for instance, could be an indication of underlying flu illness. And I really want to note that a person can also progress very rapidly to critical illness within a couple of days after symptom onset. In a recent CDC study of deaths in children with influenza, 1/3 of children died before they even got to the hospital. Some severe signs and symptoms with any of these presentations can include persistent high fever, tachypnea, difficulty breathing or shortness of breath, and lethargy or confusion, just to name a few. I do want to mention some of the severe complications that can occur with flu. These include pneumonia, which can actually result from either influenza virus alone or from a co-infection or a secondary infection with bacteria. Patients with pneumonia can progress rapidly to respiratory failure and acute respiratory distress syndrome. And also, flu virus infection of the respiratory tract can lead to an extreme host inflammatory response and lead to sepsis, or sepsis can be triggered by a secondary bacterial co-infection. That same CDC study of pediatric deaths found that 30% of those children had sepsis listed as a complication on their death report. Other potential serious complications associated with flu can occur in multiple organ systems, including cardiac, such as myocarditis or myocardial infarction, neurologic, which includes encephalopathy, encephalitis, or stroke, or musculoskeletal manifestations, such as myositis and rhabdomyolysis. And flu can even be complicated by multi-organ failure and, unfortunately, death, as you referred to. So I think sometimes providers don't recognize that flu can be associated with all of these complications. It's important for healthcare providers to think of flu when flu activity is high and keep in mind that signs and symptoms can vary with age and with host factors. So, for example, infants may have high fever and irritability with or without respiratory symptoms, and elderly and immunosuppressed people may not have fever. So, vigilance during this season is really important, and healthcare providers really need to keep flu high on their list of possible diagnoses.
Similarly, how can influenza-related death be prevented?
Well, even in this H3N2 predominant season, the best way to prevent flu illness and hospitalizations and death is flu vaccination for everyone age 6 months and older. And while some people who are vaccinated may still get flu, we know that will happen, there are data to suggest that vaccination can lessen disease severity and result in milder illness. We know from past seasons that the effectiveness of influenza vaccination to reduce the risk of flu illness caused by H3N2 viruses has been around 30%, whereas for H1N1 and B viruses, it has been higher, around 50 to 60%. And as I mentioned earlier, all three of these viruses are currently circulating. And so while it's not 100%, even with vaccine effectiveness in the range of 30 to 60%, flu vaccination prevents millions of illnesses each year and can protect even against hospitalizations and deaths. Our influenza division at CDC published a paper last year that reported that flu vaccination can significantly reduce the likelihood of children dying from flu. The study found that flu vaccination reduced the risk of flu-associated death by half, by 51%, among children with underlying high-risk medical conditions. And among previously healthy children, it reduced that risk by nearly two-thirds, 65%. So we can prevent more deaths by vaccinating more children.
Once someone of any age has been diagnosed with the flu, what are the recommended treatment options?
Well, most people who are otherwise healthy and get the flu will have mild illness, and they won't need medical care or antiviral drugs. CDC does recommend treatment as soon as possible with flu antiviral drugs for people who are severely ill or at risk for becoming severely ill. So what that means is that all hospitalized patients, all patients with complicated or progressive illness, and all high-risk patients, either hospitalized or outpatient, with suspected influenza should be treated as soon as possible with an influenza antiviral medication. The groups of people at higher risk for complications include children younger than age 2, adults age 65 and over, pregnant women, and people with underlying medical conditions such as lung disease, heart disease, and diabetes. In children, a big category of underlying conditions includes those with neurologic or developmental disorders. So antiviral treatment is recommended for those categories. Now, treatment can be considered for previously healthy, symptomatic outpatients who are not at high risk and have suspected influenza on the basis of the clinician's judgment, if treatment can be started within 48 hours of illness onset. However, I will say in this season, local spot shortages of antiviral drugs have been reported in places experiencing high influenza activity. And while these are relatively time limited for healthcare providers in this setting, treatment should be prioritized for hospitalized patients and high-risk outpatients. There are three FDA-approved influenza antiviral medications. They are all neuraminidase inhibitors. Those are the three that are recommended for use in the United States this season. It includes oral oseltamivir, which comes as capsules or a suspension, inhaled zanamivir, and intravenous peramivir. And CDC tests circulating viruses for resistance to antiviral medications. And so far this season, all of the tested H3N2 and B viruses showed susceptibility to the antiviral drugs, all three of them. 1% of the H1N1 viruses tested were resistant to both oseltamivir and peramivir, but sensitive to zanamivir. So in summary of all that, we would expect these drugs to be effective against nearly all of the currently circulating flu viruses if they're used early in illness.
Do you have any other advice for our listeners today?
Well, even at this point in this flu season, I just want to say once more that the best way to fight flu is to get vaccinated and continue to recommend vaccination for your patients, both children and adults. This is especially important because we are likely to see flu activity for many weeks to come, and we are seeing increased circulation of influenza B and H1N1 viruses. So remain vigilant. We all need to practice good preventive habits. And if you are sick, please stay home to minimize spread to others. This is especially important for healthcare providers. We need to follow our own advice on that. Also for clinicians, remember that influenza testing is not needed for all outpatients, and that proper interpretation of results, particularly negative results of rapid antigen testing, is important. And providers should begin treatment with antiviral drugs immediately if they suspect flu in a severely ill or high-risk patient without waiting for the results of confirmatory flu testing. I guess one other thing I would mention is I would just point people to our website. The homepage is www.cdc.gov/flu, and that will take you to a number of resources. There's an entire set of pages for health professionals. And you can also get to the weekly influenza surveillance report that we call FluView. So that's a great resource for additional questions.
Absolutely. Thank you again for speaking with me today, Dr. Campbell.
Well, thank you so much for having me.